It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. It's coming up. It's our weekly look at what's going on in Congress, from an open letter to Iran to a possible update to a use of military force authorization. We'll get the latest.
First, just after Governor Walker signed into law a right-to-work bill in Wisconsin, three state labor organizations have filed a lawsuit against the state in an attempt to stop the law from being enforced.
Machinist Local Lodge 1061, United Steelworkers District 2, and the Wisconsin AFL-CIO are the groups challenging the state. They say the law is unconstitutional. They want a temporary injunction in addition to a permanent stop to it. But will that challenge go anywhere, especially when similar cases in other Midwestern states have failed?
Here with us now to talk about the case is Paul Secunda. He's a professor of law and the director of the Labor and Employment Law Program at Marquette University Law School. Paul, thanks for joining us.
Having me today.
So, Paul, these unions are challenging Wisconsin's new right-to-work law on the grounds that it's unconstitutional. What's their case?
The case is based on a clause that says that you can't take property without just compensation. The property that they're referring to here is the dues that they previously received from all members of the union, and now, of course, those dissenting union members do not have to pay such dues. So they feel that this is the state enforcing a law that takes away their property.
Now, is this being pursued in the state courts or the federal court?
This is being pursued in state court. The current case was filed in Dane County Circuit Court, which is right there in Madison, and it will be heard in the next couple weeks as far as the temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction.
What have you heard as far as what union leaders are saying about this lawsuit? I think we may have just lost Paul for the moment there. We're going to try to dial him back, see if he will rejoin us there. We're talking about news today, actually, is from earlier in the week, just a day or two ago, that some labor organizations have started a lawsuit against the state in an attempt to stop the recent right-to-work law from being enforced.
That is hitting state courts, as our guest was just saying, Paul Secunda. That will hit the courts and be argued over the next couple of weeks, and we'll be watching for that. I think we have Paul Secunda back.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. What I was saying was that I think that the leaders of the unions understand that they're fighting an uphill battle, because similar lawsuits have been brought in Michigan and Indiana. And although in Indiana there was some initial success at the lower courts, the Indiana Supreme Court more recently in two different cases in November and December of 2014 found against the unions, and the right-to-work laws were upheld there.
Now, as I understand it, the wording of the Wisconsin law is very similar to the wording of these other laws, which have withstood legal challenges. Is there any reason to believe that the outcome here could be different for some reason?
Well, first of all, the laws are exactly similar because they're based on model language put forward by ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is the group that sponsors such legislation for conservative legislators. So the one thing that I was thinking that might be somewhat different, although I don't think this is something that's being challenged, is the fact that they say that those who try to enforce or to force union members to pay dues in violation of the right-to-work law could be subject to criminal sanctions in the form of a misdemeanor. I'm not sure that's permitted under federal labor law, but I'm also pretty sure that they're not particularly challenging the criminal provisions of the law as it stands right now.
Now, the argument here, as you said, is similar to one made by unions suing against Indiana's right-to-work law a few years ago, and ultimately the state Supreme Court, as you said, ruled against that. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if you see the outcome in Wisconsin, you know, is it largely symbolic because of that, or is this something that people think could have real legal legs to it?
Well, I think they definitely want to keep the whole right-to-work issue in front of the public, because unions feel very strongly that these laws are unfair, that they make it very hard for unions to collectively bargain and organize. They feel that these laws lead to lower wages, lower benefits, and actually less revenue for the state because people have less money. And so I think even though it's unlikely that they will prevail in this lawsuit, they want to keep the issue front and center and explain maybe in the press and through their legal filings that this law is not good for the middle class of Wisconsin.
Beyond that, though, is it does it benefit the unions to keep it alive? Is now that it's law, it's the law of the land here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, I would have preferred personally that the unions had taken more direct action while the law was still being debated in the form of walkouts or withholding of labor. But that was not adopted, obviously, by the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. And now, of course, we have a law, and the only thing left to do is litigation to challenge the law. So it's not ideal, but where we are now in the process, it's really the only thing that's available for the unions to do.
As I understand it, unions involved would like to see a temporary halt to the law and then a more lasting injunction. Is that a possibility on the road here?
I really don't think so. Even if they're successful in Dane Circuit Court in front of the judge in Madison, which is possible, I think that it would be immediately appealed right to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has 7 members, 4 who are conservative, 3 who are more progressive, and given their previous forays into our labor law fights in this state going back to 2011, I think it's highly unlikely that they would uphold any type of union challenge here.
Do you see any similarities or differences here to lawsuits that were filed over Act 10?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're talking about some types of similar constitutional challenges, using the federal and state constitution to argue that what is being done here is to take away rights from union members and unions as opposed to those who are not in unions. So there's a similar type of flavor, a similar type of argument. The difference, of course, is that with Act 10 in 2011, that was much more far-reaching with regard to public sector employees. There we were talking about taking away most collective bargaining rights from most public sector employees. Here, we're talking about in the private sector, and we're talking about the rights of individual union members not to have to pay so-called agency fees, which unions are required to provide them as far as collective bargaining and contract administration.
Now, should this actually get some momentum and advance through the courts, what should we expect to happen next?
Well, we'll see it in a hearing in a couple of weeks in front of the judge in Dane County Circuit Court. That judge will decide whether to issue the temporary restraining order and the preliminary injunction. If he does grant that order and that injunction, as I said, I expect it to be immediately appealed by the state's attorney general and brought to the Wisconsin Supreme Court on a fairly expedited basis. But, of course, if the temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction are denied, then we might see a fairly quick end to this litigation.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Paul Secunda. He's a professor of law and director of the Labor and Employment Law Program at Marquette University Law School. He joined us to talk about the lawsuit filed over the state's new right-to-work law.